God, teach us true generosity. Teach us to serve you as you deserve, to give without counting the cost, to fight regardless of the wounds, to labor without seeking rest, to sacrifice without thought of any reward, save the knowledge that we have done your will. Amen. That prayer was from St. Ignatius of Loyola. I'm not preaching on the wise men today. I'm preaching on Ephesians, but just a comment I read the other day that, so we got the wise men. First of all, they ask everybody in Jerusalem, where's this king that's going to be, which is probably loaded. You're going to come in and ask where the next king is. And then somehow Herod gets word of this, and I love the word. He secretly, wink, wink, asks them to come and talk to him. And what does he? He calls for the wise men and learn from them the exact time when the star appeared. So that maybe should have been a clue to the wise men that, you know, secretly there was an issue there. And so they go and they give their gifts to the manger. And then I love how God intervenes and says in a dream, don't go back there. Because they might have gone there. They were very wise, apparently. And they might have gone back to King Herod. So it's just, anyhow. These are the things I spend time thinking about, you know? Yes. Yes, that's a good thing, actually. So we know what we know, but we don't know what we don't know. Has everybody got that? It's a tongue twister. And this is part of the mystery and the root of the Christian faith. But the thing with mysteries is that human beings always want to figure out how things are going to turn out. I try not to read mystery novels because guess what I do? Y'all go do the same thing. You go to the end of the book, right? I know, it's bad. And I try and tape mysteries so I can fast forward. Oh man, it's bad. We're always looking for answers, trying to understand, for instance, why a young man would open fire in a school killing 20 children, thinking of Newtown, and six adults, and how and why human beings can do incredible acts of heroism and yet equally are capable of such acts of violence. And there are many unsolved mysteries in the world, and there are also spiritual mysteries, deeper mysteries, such as the Trinity, the resurrection, when will the day of judgment happen, the second coming, and why do bad things happen to good people? So today is Epiphany Sunday, and the word epiphany contains within it this sense of revealing or showing, making that which is hidden known. And this is the time in the church year when God, the Word, makes known aspects of the divine nature, sharing with his people the body of Christ, the church, and some of its secrets. And Epiphany is the time of the year when God solves some mysteries. And if we look at the reading from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, God reveals through Paul some things we really need to know. Things that are important, and yet things we will never figure out unless God chooses to reveal them to us. See, I believe that someone can say something to you, but if you're not ready to hear it, haven't you found? You don't hear it, because we don't know what we don't know. Paul is writing this from prison in Rome. And more than any other New Testament scripture, he highlights the role of the church in God's eternal plan. And he begins in our chapter today by revealing and explaining that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A prisoner. Interesting word to use. How many of us are prisoners of Christ Jesus? Yeah, prisoners, right? And what's the thing about being in prison? Get out, yeah. Well, you do get out, and you can get paroled. I don't know what that had to do with that, but anyhow. He begins chapter 3 by explaining he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he's made the case that we, the church, are carefully joined together in Christ, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, and through Christ, we are part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. It is not coincidental that all of us show up on Sunday morning in this place. What brings you here? What is it that gets you out of bed at whatever time you get out of bed, get dressed and come here? What is it? See, for me, this is practicing your faith. It becomes a holy habit. In other words, the body of Christ is not some hodgepodge of people randomly thrown together, but we are a holy temple designed to participate together fully in God's desire and plan. We're not a hodgepodge. We're intentional. And he writes in chapter 3, verses 5, both Jews and Gentiles who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ, because we are prisoners. I want to be a prisoner of Christ. Paul is telling his listeners, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are together sharing equally in the riches and blessings of God because of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in the first century, these were very, very different groups. And they were not always on the best of terms. They had different diets, they had different lifestyles, and often clashed radically with different understandings of what it looks like to be right with God. We might have that same problem now. Many, you know, Christians, I think there's over 1,200 different divisions in the Protestant denomination. And what do we fight over? Who's right? Who's wrong? But Paul says, no worries. We're all in the same boat. Remember I told you that story about Bishop Jim Cruikshank saying there's only one swimming pool. There's not two swimming pools, one for the good people, one for the bad people. There's only one swimming pool, and we're in that together. One body. We really do need to stop arguing about theological differences, I think, you know. We just need to be prisoners. Members, we are members of the same body and share in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So what binds us together is God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. No philosophy, no theology, no numerology will ever truly unite and bring us together. There is so much that divides people. Ethnic backgrounds, racial divisions, theological understanding, people of different religious groups, Muslims against Jews, different Christian denomination, rich people against poor people, middle class against the rich, new Democrats against liberals and conservatives, Republicans against Democrats. What? Something about liberals and conservatives and NDPs? So many things divide, but there's only one thing under heaven and earth that unites all peoples. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Under the authority of Christ, sharing in the news of boundless riches of Christ so that everyone can see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Verse 9. Divisions are healed because of Christ. That which we did not know is now known. And it is the gospel. Here's the thing. It's the practicing of the gospel. You and I practicing what we hear every Sunday. It is the gospel that removes divisions among God's family. Talk about grace. Paul goes on to say in verse 12 that the church in its rich variety bears the truth of this revelation. You and I, God's ambassadors, God's representatives, have a responsibility to practice and to live this mystery of faith in our personal life, our corporate life, and in every aspect of our existence. Practicing our faith. What's that going to look like? We are called and we are empowered and we are blessed to practice our faith. And Paul explains we can do this because by God's grace, we have access, he says this in verse 12, we have access to God, we have access to Christ in God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. We're not weaklings. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus is the key to solving the mystery. That is the reason he came, to remove that which really divides people. The power of sin that pulls us away from a relationship with our Creator. Sin isn't about doing bad things. Sin is about not developing and nurturing and living our faith and being close to God. It's not about doing bad things. Now, we do bad things, but it's about that relationship that we have with Christ. It is the power of sin that divides us that causes me to not see you as beloved. I say this for me. That causes me to close my heart to receiving God's love so that I can pour it out, so I can give it away. It is sin that prompts me to believe that I can do my own thing and not bear the consequences of my behavior. Yet there on the cross is the one and only chance to turn away from the power of sin and turn back to the Lord. For on Christ's shoulders, we can lay our burdens down. And once we truly believe this and believe that sin is no longer in control, that it is really gone. Remember, Paul talks about sin as a power. And that we are really forgiven because of Christ Jesus. Then we are free to love and to live in spite of our differences. We are forgiven so much that we are able in Christ to honestly love, care, trust, encourage, and build up people everywhere. That is the joy of the Lord who is my strength. The gospel of Jesus Christ is our common denominator, and it's for all peoples. But what does St. Francis say? Preach the gospel, sometimes use words. And that is the mystery solved, Paul exclaims. The gospel, Jesus Christ, is what Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the magi, had in common. As one writer aptly put it, Mary and Joseph, not rich, the shepherds, not rich, the wise men, rich, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, not educated, the wise men, educated, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, Jews, the wise men, Gentiles, very different people. What brought them together? The Christ child, the living word. And he will do that in this world someday. Epiphany reveals that in Jesus Christ we have a universal Savior, that no matter who you are or what you've done, regardless of your background, your social status, your economic position, no matter how different you and I are, Jesus is still for you and I. Our faith is not to fear anyone. It's not to take down anybody else's faith. The word incarnate is to not judge or condemn. And when people start using scripture to condemn, I have a problem with that. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is no longer a mystery, for today God reveals his grace to you and to me and to all that ask. Let us pray. God of day and night, of frost and sunshine, of rest and growth, we praise you for the rhythms and patterns of life, for the gentle dying of each season and the coming of the next, for the wonder of new life in all its forms and the quiet flowing of youth into old age. Give us eyes and hearts to perceive you in the unfolding of our years, and help us in this newborn year to make more space for you, the giver of all. Amen.